Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
Well, welcome everybody. This is Andrew Fetter with When Pigs Fly, and thank you for all listening. My second show after being on a little mini vacation. Extraordinary, different kind of week and weeks. Do check out my in the archive from my last show with Matthew the Healer. That was an extraordinary show. He got very detailed of how he goes into the processes of healing. And the information there is quite extraordinary. And of course, this today, because we're heading into, I guess, a solstice, and every 3 months or so, I bring in my favorite and internationally well-known astrologist and intuitive, Carrie Fezza, who has esteemed herself with a lot of knowledge every 3 months, and she does an extraordinary job as far as detailing, as far as astrology and her way of intuitiveness. You should definitely check her out after the show. Try to get a chart as well as a reading done. I highly recommend it. As far as an astrology, it is like a roadmap. It gives you sort of like the warning signs, stop signs, red light, know when to stop, when to go, with the weather report. It's more like a weather report, in fact. So I think it's highly imperative to have that done, whoever you have it done, because it gives you sort of like the warning shot. So you always make choices of circumstances, but it's always nice to know whether you need to bring an umbrella or not, if it's raining, or a warm jacket if it's going to get cold. So do that. I want to welcome Carrie Fezza to my show, and thank you for coming on. Hello, Carrie.
Hey, thank you for having me on, Andy. We might have a bit of a rough connection. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you. Hello? Yeah.
I think we might be having some technical difficulties.
It might be on a speakerphone. Are you on a speakerphone?
Not anymore.
Okay. Anyway, going through what your view is and your analysis for this year, I know we've had a lot of eclipses, especially everybody who has seen we had a recent lunar eclipse. That usually comes out looking sort of reddish. If you ever see it, it looks like a red moon. So what is your analysis, and what do you think is going to happen within the next 3 months as far as and a perspective coming from the United States? I know you do that based upon the United States.
Yeah, more or less. I look at it from kind of a what we call a mundane perspective in astrology, which is sort of an overall view, political view. Not so much political. I don't know. That's what we just call mundane, like sort of world events. And I do it from sort of where we stand as a country. But you can also apply this info personally. And whenever we get into the solstices and equinoxes, we're dealing with a really important point in the zodiac. And the summer solstice falls in the sign of Cancer, which is the USA's birth sign, because our birthday is July 4th, which puts us in the Cancer section of the zodiac. And even with all this talk of the zodiac being changed and adding a sign, which I know people were panicking about a while back, the Western zodiac is fixed. It stays the same. If you're a Scorpio, you're still a Scorpio. No worries there. And the USA is still a Cancer. So we're ushering in a very patriotic time period for us, as always, every summer. And it looks like we have some really nice aspects. This is one of the more friendlier charts I've done on the solstices and equinoxes for a long time. What we have is a really nice aspect to the moon in the summer solstice chart at 10 degrees Pisces. It sits next to the asteroid Chiron, which represents a wounded healer. It's wounding, but it's a wound that needs to be healed. And right next to both of those is the planet Neptune, which is actually the ruler, the modern ruler of Pisces, and it falls in that sign now, and it's in a directly beautiful aspect to the Cancer sun. You still with me?
Yeah, I hear you. So how does this all relate then? Basically,
how it corresponds to each other is this what we call a stellium, three or more planets up in Pisces. It falls in the ninth house, which is foreign affairs, and also it's things that happen far away, out of state or out of the country. And it also has to do with law and legal things, amongst many other things. It also incorporates spirituality and religion. So when I look at that in relation to us, I look at it in terms of foreign affairs. Sorry, I had a hard time getting that out. And being that it's in a nice, pleasant aspect, and Neptune has a healing aspect sitting next to Chiron, which is about healing, I think we might be able to make some progress over the next 3 months before the autumnal equinox in facilitating peace talks. We have, what do we have, like three wars going on over in the Middle East?
Seems like it. Well, one's like technically not a war with Libya, but it is. And then we still have, I guess, we're still semi-involved, and we're supposed to be being pulled out of Iraq, and then there's, of course, Afghanistan, there's talk of. But there's so much issues of foreign problems now with Greece having its financial crisis, which is now affecting the markets in the U.S. I mean, people don't realize no matter what happens overseas, that affects us over here. So you're thinking that it's going to be a lot, so things are going to happen more on a positive as far as our foreign relations?
Yeah, there's a real potential to get things moving or get things happening in terms of perhaps withdrawing our troops or facilitating the peace process, because what opposes us is the planet Pluto at this time. And Pluto rules power and control, and it falls in the house of open enemies. So, but that planet also falls in a nice aspect to the Pisces planets, which means even though we do have powerful enemies and we're always going to be at odds with these people, that they have an incentive to end the wars now or facilitate peace talks or find a compromise with us or make a truce just in order to end their own suffering. So not only is it in our best interest, but it's in their best interest too. That's what the planets are showing, and I feel like there could be some strides made at this time. One of the things that concerns me, though, is you always have good aspects and what we call negative aspects in a chart. Birth charts, anything, that's what gives people their character. And negatively in this chart, you have the planet Mars, which rules war, stirs things up, can be aggression. It falls in kind of a conflicting aspect to the Pisces planets, and it falls on the cusp of the 12th house, which can be secrets. So I would say there's definitely some secret negotiations going on in order to facilitate this. And the sign of Pisces, the planet Neptune, the moon being in Pisces. Pisces is illusions. It's not seeing things clearly. If you have a lot of Pisces friends, you'll notice sometimes they just show up and sometimes they don't. Their symbol is the fish, and if you've ever tried to hold on to a fish, you know how elusive they can be. And when you're doing talks, discussions, negotiations with this energy, you might have an element of deception there, where we might be, and Neptune always has to do with gas and oil, so we might be promising things, or they might be promising us things, especially to do with gas and oil, but it's their hollow promises, or they might even be outright lies. This would be kind of on the down low. There's three eclipses impacting the summer solstice chart, and eclipses will bring hidden things into the light, even if it's years later. So we have to be careful if we're not acting with the utmost integrity, that whatever, if it's not true, it will be exposed later. And that can also be true for their side.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you're saying that, because There's a big confrontation over why we are involved with Libya, and that has to do with their oil, of course, and where they're located or where they're located. And they've given the promise, the rebels or whatever, trying to get rid of Gaddafi, promising, because it's costing us money, like we have money to spend, it's costing them almost this is ridiculous, $1 million a day to continue bombing in Libya, like we don't have money here. And but they're promising to pay us back, like we haven't heard this before, through the oil. I think Cheney said this with Iraq, that we're going to be paid back through the oil. So it's sort of the same thing. It seems like we're repeating the same thing that happened back then, you know. And when you're talking about the fish, it's sort of it seems like the same thing.
Yeah, Pisces can be deception. It can be illusion. And we could be, it's very charming, though. It has to do with smooth negotiations, making promises, saying things. But it could all be a bunch of sweet nothings. So we have to be careful that we act with integrity and that we can trust the people we're negotiating with. But the overall objective, I feel, is for healing on both sides, to heal our economy, to bring our troops home, to get out of this seemingly senseless, endless war. And they have, you know, they're suffering a lot over there, too. So it's also in their best interest. And I think we're going to see that lying in between the Sun in Cancer and these Pisces planets in a really tight aspect is the planet Jupiter, which falls in Taurus, which has to do with money. It's one of those signs that deals with money and material things. And Jupiter is a planet of luck and abundance. It falls in the house of allies. So we could have help from our allies in allies or neutral parties that help with the negotiation process. There might be other countries that get involved and help us work towards a peaceful or a better solution, start working towards ending things overseas, if I'm saying it right. Sorry. I know what I'm trying to say, but I just sometimes have a hard time putting it into words.
No, because there's so many things like that. It could be issues of the Israeli-Palestinian Arab conflict. It could be right now what's going on with Syria, with that situation. And then, of course, the Iranian issue. So there seems like, what you're saying, there's so many things that could be possibly happening with friends, people that were like enemies or friends, and probably making promises, because promises are being made both to Israelis and Palestinians, and they're all been bullshit. And people have been always leery overseas about American promises, because it seems it's always been a caricature of American character to never live up to any of their promises internationally. They bail out on their friends really quickly. So, which has always been historically, you can go way back out when. It's for almost 100 some odd years or more. So, you're saying that it's our allies. It seems like the whole central theme is going to be within the next 3 months. There's a lot of international affairs going on, which is interesting because a lot of stuff is heating up right now. I mean, in different areas around the world. So that would be pretty interesting. I actually think that what you're talking about actually could also ironically be Syria. If Assad falls and Syria becomes a democratic entity, that will actually could see the French in being involved with that and the Americans, and that can actually create a de facto peace in the region, even between the Israelis and the Palestinians. And then the Iranians. So there's a lot of stuff that is interesting what you said. I know we're dealing, it deals with issues and energies of foreign affairs and foreign things. How about the issues of the foreign economies? Because it seems like every time the U.S. is trying to go three steps forward, the Europeans are going five steps backwards in particular.
I don't see too much in this chart relating to our economy. we might be promising money to something, but again, it would be a hollow promise. It would be a, you know, like whispering sweet nothings. We have to be careful, too, because within this, the South Node is factored in, and the South Node rules self-undoing. So if we're making promises we can't keep, if we're not telling the truth, again, it could come back to haunt us, especially since this eclipse we just had on Wednesday, June 15th, is 1 degree away from the South Node.
Now, speaking of eclipses, I know you had mentioned before that I saw you in your, by the way, everybody check out zodiacbuzz.com when you have a chance or while we're talking. You had mentioned, talked about the lunar eclipse that we just recently have. And then you mentioned, I think you were talking about there in June, we had one in two eclipses, one of, I believe, Gemini or Sagittarius.
Well, eclipses always run in opposing signs, and the two eclipses in June were in Gemini and Sag, and they follow the nodal cycle. So this last eclipse actually was on the North Node. It was 1 degree away from the North Node, within 1 degree opposition to the South Node. So all that technicality aside, it also, the USA Mars falls close to that point, which again can stir things up. It can energize things, as eclipses also energize things, but eclipse energy isn't just specific to this, to the dates. Like, even this is a lot of intense, heavy energy this week, but with the two eclipses in this month, the impact's been around for several months. Uranus, the planet of the shocking, the unexpected, that ushers in the new age, the new era, the age of Aquarius, all that, it sits at the top of this chart. And that, what could be more shocking and unexpected, and I feel directly related to the eclipses, than the capture and assassination of Osama bin Laden? You can expect more of these major shocking events, although I'd still like to see the body or a picture of it.
Yeah, but if it is true, then it is true, but...
Again, that could be facilitating the peace process. We've caught our guy. Now we're walking our talk after all these years. People might take us more seriously and be willing to negotiate with us.
But also, at the same time, it makes people get very realize maybe the U.S. does have can stretch its arms, because they did, the Americans did this without Pakistani knowledge or acceptance, so they can, if they need to get somebody, they'll get them wherever they have to get them, whether you like it or not. So it has two sides of that sword. One is showing that we do what we say we're going to do, and we're going to impose the justice that we see that needs to be done. At the same time, it also puts those who maybe are enemies, or those who are sympathizers to our enemies, or apologetic to our enemies on the, you know, on the backside, to so to speak, on the not backside, but more sort of like on the defensive, you know, not so active, you know, of being aggressive toward us, you know.
Well, that was a pretty bold statement we made. If it's true that we discovered his lair and we went in and captured him, then that was, you know, a pretty bold move. So they might, like, again, might be taking us more seriously, or now know that they've lost a major player on their side. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of like chess. Well, so while they're still valiantly opposed to us, it's in their best interest to negotiate with us and put an end to all of...
Right, that's what I'm saying to you, because look where it was. I mean, if bin Laden was there with the captain, they could kill them. That place was, it was amazingly, it was only like, not even a couple football fields away from their West Point. It'd be like near our, you know, West Point, or near the, two football fields away from the Pentagon, and we're, you know, and somebody from another country comes there and kills a guy. I mean, to them, they probably have awareness that this was going on, and they got caught. And the U.S. did it to, you know, pulled, like with the Israelis, put an Entebbe affair, or did what they did after the Munich murders, and the Olympics just went around and started assassinating all the terrorists. And everybody just got frightened of how the Israelis were able to just go ahead and do it. And the, and this was like the U.S. Entebbe. I mean, pretty much it pretty put people on the on that front. And also, I think in another side, not to throw on patriotism, because patriotism to me sometimes is an illusionary thing, but it does give the thing, the element of pride within Americans. Like, hey, we got them, man, we finally did it. And this is what I was going to bring up to you, because you said, I think something that you said happens every 30 years, and it was when after the Vietnam War, Americans had lost their pride as being Americans, because we got whipped in Vietnam, and not by because we got whipped militarily, we got whipped because militarily we were fighting a war that we shouldn't be fighting, and we didn't fight it militarily with a correct strategy. So we had Carter, who was not that strong character, and then it wasn't until Reagan who came in with, you know, the gusto, who actually brought in pride back into the United States. You know, I think there was the when we went into Granada, I think it was, or that island off in Cuba that had Americans captured with Cubans and blah blah blah. I don't know if you remember, that was back in the 80s. But that was almost like an Entebbe raid with an army, and it gave pride back to the U.S. And he started bringing that same sense of pride with amongst Americans. Is there a sort of same similarity what happened 30 years ago as to this time around?
Yeah, that's funny you should ask that. When you get to our personal affairs, what's going on for us internally, at the very bottom of the chart, represented in the fourth house, is the planet Saturn. It's been in Libra for about a year now, almost two, I believe, and it's approaching its return point. Saturn takes it cycles on a 30-year cycle and takes approximately 30 years to go around the chart. We had our first Saturn return last November, December, where it came back to where it was in the USA chart in 1776, and we have a Saturn return cycle every 30 years. So Saturn represents hardships, delays and restrictions, but it's also working towards a goal. So I think it's very fitting in this chart that it falls in the house of God and country, home and family. We're working really hard to rebuild our economy. We're working hard to make strides. Saturn was retrograde for a long time within the spring equinox period, but it went direct this week. So now we can see forward motion over the next 3 months in rebuilding our domestic affairs and getting back on track. And yes, it absolutely ties in with what's going on with world events, with us, and versus our enemies and our allies.
Well, how does this relate to, and this gets sort of the political, some political things, because right now there's some issues right now where we didn't even have imbalanced our budget yet in the United States. So there's a big fight going about raising our, what they call our credit threshold, or what they call the debt ceiling, or a debt is basically giving you, let's say you have a credit card that's $100,000, and boy, you're at $95,000 to use up the credit. So you're trying to give yourself a new line of credit, extending more because guess what? You're not going to be able to pay that credit card off, which, you know, you're going to go past your line of credit. And yet we are caught between that and our economy of not having to spend the money where it was supposed to be spent, and helping develop our infrastructure. It was sent overseas and other places. And then now we're figuring ways to cut our own and save our spending while we need to spend, yet raise our ceiling. So it seems there's a quagmire within the government itself of trying to figure out what they want to impose on us, you know, including probably, you know, trying to affect programs such as Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security, which actually would be cause a revolt in some instances. But how do you
revolts are possible, because it's interesting you use that word revolt, because that's sort of one of the key words for Uranus, and Uranus is opposed to Saturn, which is, again, rebuilding our country, rebuilding our economy, rebuilding our infrastructure, all the things you said, and it's directly opposed Uranus, which is the Maverick, which rules, you know, uprisings, and it sort of is, we want to be, we want that comfort and security that we've come to know as our country, but in order to make changes we need to do to get out of this hole, we have to do things that are radically different or be open to radical change in order to affect something different. And sometimes that energy can present itself in the guise of a revolution or something like that. That would be extremist. It's still the same energy, and it's been in these charts that I've done on your show for several years, reminiscent of that energy that was present in the 60s. And I think you could also draw a correlation between these ongoing wars overseas and the Vietnam War, and that it's senseless and it's dragging on and there doesn't seem to be any end. And whatever our original objective was, I think it's kind of lost at this point.
Well, it seems like we've been longer there than anywhere that we've been in history. I mean, even longer than Vietnam now. So, yeah, it's longer than Vietnam. And that was the longest war that the U.S. was ever involved with. But right now, with the conservative, the Republicans and the Democrats and so forth, the conservatives and supposed liberals, I mean, it seems to me that for last 10, 15 years, there was a lack of cooperation, working together to try to figure out to work together to adjust things. The only time that ever happened, actually, the last time was back in the 90s with Clinton, where they worked together with the Republicans and sat down and did a pay-as-you-go program, which actually fixed our economy. So I'm just wondering if that will be the case this time, or I mean, but I feel we just don't have a Clinton as a leader. I mean, we have Obama who lets everybody lead. You know, he just comes here to sign the draft that's done there personally. So what do you see in the chart as far as economically? Because with the next 3 months, we're going to be in some serious quagmire events economically if things aren't situated on a right pattern, so to speak.
Well, you asked me that before, and I don't see a lot in here in terms of the economy. As in terms of, we're in a more fortunate position. In answer to your question you asked a while back, we're in a much more fortunate position than, say, Europe or other countries in terms of financial things. We're in a better place now to rebuild ourselves. That's as much as I say. I don't, in my chart, I don't see a lot directly related to the economy. I just sort of see rebuilding overall. And I don't think there's really a big difference anymore between the Republicans and the Democrats. The sign of Libra in this chart, which indicates balance, two sides striving for balance, falls again, it as the ruler of the house of our country. So, ruling the internal affairs, just let me finish this thought. Ruling internal affairs, you have two sides that are always striving for balance, Republican and Democrat. Our party only has really two, our country really only has two strong parties, and you're never going to make a liberal out of a Republican, and you're never going to make a Republican out of a Democrat. It's always been the forces, and we're equal, we're balancing out. What you're going to see with the opposition to Uranus, that's the planet of independence. And I think you're going to see more people that are coming out as independent. Because you know as well as I do, politicians will switch parties. They'll go from being a Republican to being a Democrat if they have a better shot of achieving their political office. So there's almost no integrity into what party the leaders belong to. And I think a lot of the population is leaning toward independent. They see right. Pros and cons for both sides. And right. We don't have any faith in our leaders holding up what the principles of what their party's supposed to stand in. They waver back right. And forth.
So how does this? So this gets back to two things that you were talking about. One is how the June eclipses and motivates us into some actions behind the scenes, and then also with the sobering aspects that you were talked about Saturn, which resides in the fourth house of God and country, and home and family and the sign of Libra. Is that what you're referring to?
Exactly.
So there's sort of like the balancing nature of basically what I was saying before, that they basically have to sort of work together in order to, you know, and it is true that more people are becoming more and more independence as opposed to affiliating themselves to any party, which is making it more, I think it's like, it used to be like 50%, now it's up to 60, 70% of the population are considered themselves independents now, which is unreal.
Because there's no, like, there's really no direct line anymore between Republicans and Democrats. They'll switch sides. I know people that are really strong Republican, and they look at Democrats as 180 degrees apart, but really, I think the people that are more open-minded are starting to see things, like, it really doesn't matter what your party is, it's more what you stand for, and can you walk your talk? And I think that's been your biggest concern with Obama, is he promised all these things, and now he's having a really hard time delivering. He's got a Republican Congress he has to please, so he's trying to balance all sides, and he's not being loyal to what he originally stood for.
He didn't stand up for the, when there was a Democratic surge, he didn't stand up, and it just, he was never really turned out to be the leader. He was just a great talker. He was more
about most leaders are. I mean, I don't really feel like the president has a lot to do with running the country. He gets to be the final say, but there's so many powers behind the throne.
Oh, yep.
They put the charming best person out front.
Yeah.
The
what they call, like, the newscaster for us.
Right. You know, and he's supposed to be a great speaker and a great guy, but does that make a great president?
Yeah,
you know?
So how does, you know, it's going to be interesting. So you're saying, so basically, it just seems like we're going to be mostly into our foreign affairs, you know, that's going to be, that this aspect, and we're going to still just continue moving along in more balanced aspects as far as coming to terms with our own economical situations here. And then about as far as foreign policy, it seems more like it's, that's actually what's going to be more in front of our eyes and ears, and so to speak, in coming events in the next 3 months. Am I correct?
Well, the first thing that really jumped out at me was at this chart, because there's always different things to look at when you do a chart, but something will usually jump out at you. And the first thing that jumped out was the idea that we could make some headway towards ending the war. And again, using Vietnam as an analogy, the peace talks began long before all the troops came home. I think the war was ended, what, 3 or 4 years before they even got all the last troops home. I mean, this isn't going to happen in 3 months. But I think now with the capture of Osama bin Laden, the influence of the eclipses, and some of the really nice aspects in our chart, both to us and our, for lack of a better word, enemies, I think we are going to see some headway. You're going to hear a lot about foreign affairs, but I think it's going to be more towards where we can start to put an end to this. There's just going to be lots of shocking events on the world scale, good, bad, and ugly, everything from natural disasters to unforeseen events. So we can expect lots of that. And on a domestic level, we're working to rebuild as we have been, but now we're going to start to see much more forward motion now that Saturn's out of retrograde and has gone direct. It just went direct within a week, so we're in the very beginning process of starting to build. But Saturn works slowly. Its rewards down the road. Best sort of way that Saturn is hard work. So you could look at it like when you go to school, whether you go back to grade school, up through high school, whether you go to college, it takes a long time, but you are rewarded in the end for your efforts, either through a diploma or a degree. Saturn denotes a lot of time spent in achieving a goal, but at the end there's always a big reward.
So how long is this aspect with the Saturn issue in effect in our that issue within our situation? How long is that going to be?
Saturn is, it's going to pertain to us different ways at different times. This is just where we're at for this 3 month period. But it's very strong in implying forward growth. the last 3 months we were kind of stalted, maybe going backwards, stuck, so to speak. Now you're going to see, you're talking about in terms of the economy, Saturn is in a really positive aspect to Venus, which is the ruler of Taurus and can represent money. And so I think we're going to be rebuilding our economy, rebuilding our infrastructure. I mean, that goes without saying, but now you're going to see forward progress with that. You're going to start to see things move forward. And it can, it's, Venus kind of falls in between the good aspects and the bad aspects of what I would call peace talks or facilitating a compromise. And you're going to see the impact of that. Better the economy, better our situation. On the home front, we're really, it's just sort of a, it's a quiet time right now where we start to rebuild in a positive way. I don't think it's going to make the major headlines or it's going to be a big part of the news for the next 3 months, but I think in 3 months' time, 6 months' time, you can look back and go, wow, things really started to happen last summer in terms of rebuilding.
So they're actually getting, they're actually you know, bearing the hatchet and doing things to help do whatever to make things economically a better situation, whatever that means. So basically, there it seems like that's what you're talking about. And there's, but let me go back to the 30-year thing too, because you said, and you said with the Saturn thing, what happens every 30? What we, this is similar to, like, we have every 30 years or something like that, you're saying?
Saturn works on a 30-year cycle, approximately. I think it's technically 29 and a half years. But every 30 years, and this applies to human beings, every 30 years you have what's called a Saturn return, where Saturn returns to the degree it was in your birth chart. The Sun returns to the degree it was in your birth chart every year, approximately on your birthday. Every year around your birthday, you have what we call a solar return. Well, approximately every 29 and a half years, you have a Saturn return. Saturn can stay at 1 degree for a long time, though. It can go back and forth. So we had our first Saturn return last fall. It retrograded. It went backwards. Now it's in forward motion. It's going to come back to the degree it was, I believe, in August when it's returning. So Saturn returns are significant. It's usually a coming-of-age time, a grow-up time. Think of what happened to you when you were 30. And then people that have lived longer, what happens to you when you're 58 to 60? These are important cycles in life where you usually take on some sort of responsibility. And that's what is happening to us over the next 3 months as a country. We're coming of age. We're achieving some sort of goal that was long fought. It's a grow up time. Again, it's not our first Saturn return. Our country was incorporated in 1776. We've had many Saturn returns. You could go back and follow the cycles if you wanted to, but probably the best place for us to look is what was going on in this country approximately anywhere between 1979 and 1982.
Oh, that's when Reagan became president, and people came from hippies, became yuppies.
Yeah, because Saturn represents more the conservative side of things. It's a coming of age. So what happened was all the hippies just grew up.
Yeah, they just grew up and they got jobs and everybody. And then they got very much, well, they had a me-ism already. But that's a whole different thing with the baby boomers. But they became like big babies. They just started to glorify themselves. They just totally got very narcissistic to a large extent, but they do. But things did do change in a positive, as far as, you know, economically and things like that. So you're saying, to some extent, it's almost like where we were 30 years ago, very similar to a situation that today.
Which I think I drew some parallels in one of my recent solstice or equinox reports. There were some correlations between one of those charts and the attempted assassination on Ronald Reagan, too.
Yeah, it's weird that you said that, because there's like, yeah, that's right, you said that for the every...
And that's why we study history, because we always learn from history things we can potentially expect nowadays. So if you want to, you're looking at a very significant Saturn cycle that's not going to really happen again for another 30 years. So you want to go back 30 years and see how it relates to what's going on today, in today's world, today's economy. But it's not so much impacting our economy as it's impacting us as a country. Us as a country, we're rebuilding.
Yeah, well, they did. It affected us. We had an energy crisis back then. We had Three Mile Island a few years earlier, which then we changed our way of looking at nuclear power usage. And then we had the issue of we had gotten out of Vietnam, but now we had issues with our own, how we look around the world, because we weren't looking that strong around the world at that time. And it changed a lot of things. There was a lot of cultural changes at that time too. Like you said, with the hippie becoming the yuppies, from becoming from more a little bit more materialistic. But at the same time, people were actually focusing on rebuilding and working.
What did you have going on 60 years ago? You had the beginning of the Korean War, and Korea's been in the news this past year again. North Korea, South Korea. So you can go back through the cycles. What was going on 90 years ago? Yeah. You had very big cultural change there. The beginning of Prohibition. Prohibition is limiting. It limited the sale of alcohol. That's what Saturn does. Saturn is limitation. So you can just follow cycles back 30 years, 60 years, approximately. You can put a 1.5-year window on each side. Like I said, anywhere from 29 to 31, 32 years. So, but if you cycle back like that, you'll see major changes that have to do with growing up, sobriety, coming of age in those time periods. So, what was going on 120 years ago? You could just keep going back. And that's one of the fascinating things about astrology, is studying cycles and learning from history.
So let me ask you this. You mentioned a little bit about the Uranus being on, I believe you mentioned it, about being on top of our solstice and our chart, solstice chart. Right?
Yeah.
And then you said to expect some shocking, unexpected events. Is that also in relation to like natural disasters?
Yep, absolutely. Uranus rules earthquakes and explosions. It's become a major player in these charts because it's moved into the sign of Aries. It dipped into Aries last summer, and we talked about it in the summer solstice chart of last year. Then it retrograded back into Pisces. On the spring equinox chart, we saw its re-entry into Aries. And what's significant about that is it's very close as it enters Aries to the 0-degree Aries point. In any chart in the entire zodiac, 0 degrees Aries is the most key degree. So to have the planet that rules the shocking, the unexpected, the maverick sitting up on the most crucial degree of the zodiacs means big changes worldwide, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Just expect the unexpected.
Yeah. And then what about the issue of, that goes into what you said about unexpected events affecting... How does this, as far as on the individual level, do you think this effect is unexpected? Would that cascade to the individual? It's expecting
every chart cascades to the individual. Like I said, you can apply this info on a mundane level, or you can apply it personally. I think how it's going to affect us as individuals, Uranus rules the need for freedom. That's why it's given governorship of the revolutions, because it's the individual that wants to break free. Around the time Uranus was discovered, you had the Industrial Revolution, Uranus rules inventions and all that, and you had the breaking down of the class system. That's why, because it rules the planet of freedom and independence, you're going to see a lot more people leaning towards being independent and seeing issues in favor of the Republican Party and seeing issues in favor of the Democratic Party, but remaining neutral or in the middle or wanting, change, but one that doesn't come from either side. Something Uranus is new. Uranus is different. That's why we call it the inventor. It brings in new and different things. but it does so in a very unexpected way. It rules earthquakes, so it's literally, it shakes things up. And because it's in such a prominent point in this chart, and it's always a key player, now that it's entered Aries in the solstice and equinoxes chart, its energy is much more influential.
So,
and
like,
oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. So basically, like you're saying, it's just besides, it can be unexpected events, even politically as well as economically, as well as physically and spiritually. How about the issue of you had mentioned about the June eclipses and how that affects motivates us into like actions behind the scenes, such as legal affairs and labor, you know, unemployment and things like that, and possibly spiritually. How would that also perhaps? What about healthcare and the way our views in toward medicines and such? How do you see anything within the charts that directs our relationship to our understandings of healthcare?
Yeah, absolutely. The last eclipse that we just had this past Wednesday on June 15th was a full moon eclipse, full moon lunar eclipse in Sagittarius. And in this chart, it falls in the house of labor and healthcare. Eclipses, whatever sign eclipses are in, also affect the opposite sign, which is Gemini, which is anything to do with communications, networking, and transportation. So those are all going to be hot issues, hotbeds of issues. We might be looking at, because it falls in, you have a sixth house dynamic opposite a 12th house dynamic. Sixth house is conventional health. 12th house is more alternative health. It rules spirituality. So in terms of alternative health care, we might be looking at things that incorporate spirituality into medicine, sort of like yoga, Pilates, the whole mind-body-soul connection. It's one thing just to go to the doctor and get a prescription, get medicine when you're sick. Now there's becoming more awareness. Uranus is an aware planet. That's how it contributes to this, too. We're becoming more aware that what we put in our bodies, our psychological state, has an impact on our health. So it's not just medicine. And as the prices of health care get higher, and, you know, HMOs are just atrocious, you'll see people, again, Uranus, more independently looking for alternatives.
Yeah,
Want to give up their health care, you know?
Are they in a situation, you know, they don't have any bad health care, so they're put in a situation to look to other alternatives, and which is probably maybe more beneficial than using just go see the doctor and take the pharmaceutical pill that they, you know, that makes it even, it just keeps it reoccurring. Because there's also something happening that's been going on just very recently and that's been opening up, is about the concepts of our medicine, which is sort of weird because it's sort of outdated. Our medical science is, like, basically, to tell straight up, is retarded. They look at the body in the aspect of like a machine as parts, on what would I say, Newtonian like way, because it's saying mechanical physics, when in reality they do the discovery of the elements, they use energy. Like when you do an MRI or a CAT scan, determine your illness, they're not looking at parts, they're looking at your energy. That's what those things do. The MRIs are measuring electromagnetic energy within your body, and that gives out that picture. So here they're using energy, which is basically your body, determining the illness. But then we go and use an illogical way of fixing it by thinking and looking as a parts as opposed to an energy to fix. And it seems that in our coming days of science, if we move toward energy, like, you know, they tapped on meridian lines and things like, you know, acupuncture, and what you're talking about, our mind, our thought, which affects, we now know affects our body. It's not like depression is not found in medicine in your brain. It's not chemical. It's actually out of your thought patterns, which is spiritual inclined. The same token is utilizing energy form of therapy toward the element. So, like, using maybe lasers or other aspects of energy that could actually create change, be the therapy utilized instead of popping the pill and thinking some chemical is going to fix it. So, I mean, it's going to be weird because that is where we're like at the very weird aspect of the baby of that aspect. And it seems like people are maybe might move more toward that aspect because that's more logical to head toward that aspect. Would that be part of what you're talking about?
Sure. You know, you're already seeing the lean towards, you know, medical marijuana, which I don't know. I think it has both pros and cons, but it's so outside the box of where we would have been, say, 30 years ago. You know, just different thought patterns, like you said, and applying them to our health as opposed to just relying totally on the medical system, which I think a lot of people are becoming disillusioned with. You know, astrology is energy. We're all made up of energy. So, you know, medicine can affect our energy if something's awry, but you really have to go to the core issue of what's affecting our personal energy, our body. Is it a psychological issue? Is it, you know, the need for you to leave your job, but you don't want to leave because you feel you need the security? You need to be there, but really your health is forcing you out of that position because you're not meant to be there anymore. That's really taking a spiritual approach. So I think you're going to see more awareness of that brought to the fore. The eclipse is definitely stirring up that area and that thought process. Again, these are going to be hot topics over the next 3 months, I think, but with the idea that we can make forward strides in that area too.
Well, let me also know this. I guess this is sort of getting into a broadening area of stuff. You know, with all the aspects of the eclipse, you know, we're talking energy, since it affects our bodies, it affects what's going around us. The eclipse of energy that we've been affected through, how does that affect us as far as, you know, our internal strength and in unity? Versus our, you know, what? How does that affect us? I mean, because there seems, like I said, there's so many eclipse energy. I know each one is different in its element, but it seems pretty bizarre that all. I mean, lately, all I hear is about the eclipse of the moon, eclipse of that.
Well, we've been having a lot of eclipses, and I don't know the scientific terms. I look at it from an astrology perspective. The last eclipse we had this month, again, were in Sag and Gemini, touching on issues of foreign relations, foreign affair, legal issues, all communications, travel, and health care. We're also having another eclipse on July 1st, a solar eclipse, but it changes cycles and moves into Capricorn. Again, the sign of the summer solstice, and the sign of our country. So then we're really going to be exposed. We are really going to be in the spotlight. Eclipses facilitate change. The eclipses in Gemini and Sag also affect Pisces and Virgos. Usually, as it affects an individual, eclipses mean changes around the residence. A lot of times, if you're in an eclipse cycle, you'll move. And they also facilitate changes around relationships. If you're in a long-term relationship, it could be make or break time. If you're looking for a relationship, an eclipse cycle can bring one to you. The next eclipse that occurs on July 1st in Cancer is going to be affecting Cancers, Capricorns, Aries, and Libras. And all those signs have key planets in this chart. So there's a lot of big changes coming for those signs, but also for our country.
So
because we're embracing both the cardinal signs and the mutable signs.
So yeah, but my question was also, does it seem, maybe I'm just because I'm hearing the word eclipse so much, is it in this time period that there's so many, or just that now I'm, you know, beginning or enlisting more an astrological base of looking at our planets and hearing that word constantly? That's, is there a more of a pattern of eclipses of different things during this period than any other, or more than normal? Let's say, like, if you took a year pie chart out of this year, have we had more eclipses happening this time as opposed to, let's say, 6 months ago or five months ago?
No, eclipses go in a yearly cycle. We use the calendar year for that. typically there's about 4 eclipses a year, and they work in opposite sun signs, so you'll see them 6 months apart. Last year, and I believe it was last year and this year, we were having 6 eclipses this year. So yeah, you are hearing about it. Instead of having 2 eclipses at this time of year, we're actually having 3. So you're absolutely right in saying that you're hearing about it a lot more, and there is more this year. But don't ask me why that is, okay? Because I don't know the scientific reason for that.
Well, I don't know if it's scientific. I'm just saying that it seems just strange that it's all happening with the eclipsing energy, like you had said, within this. It seems that it's making like a more progress for both of us, giving us opportunity for changing. Opportunity for change. Am I correct?
Eclipses are change, whether you want the opportunity or not. That's why within people go, oh my God, it's an eclipse. How is it going to affect me? Well, eclipses can be negative. They've been known to surround deaths. You'll notice on the solstices, and especially the eclipses, that there's a lot of celebrity deaths. And I think that's just, a symbolism for the people, choose that time to pass on into the next dimension. But eclipses don't have to be negative. It's how you use that energy and facilitate your own change. If you're the type of person that hates change and wants to be in the same job for 30 years, and you want nothing to ever change, eclipses are going to impact you harder and probably negatively because they're going to stir up change in your life. If you're open to change, if you're growing and you're progressing in new directions, eclipses can actually give you a burst of energy. They can motivate you forward. They can help create positive change in your life. And again, you'll typically see it if you're in the eclipse cycle around moving and relationships.
Hmm. Wow, that's interesting.
It kind of comes back to the crux of what you talk about. It's how you handle your own energy and how you see yourself and how you approach life.
Oh, I see. So it's basically forcing the issue, basically, of change. Whether as opposed to you welcoming, like you just said it, you said it straight up, it's welcoming change, or if you're trying to struggle with change, it's like trying to swim against the wave or going with the wave. Because we're running on just a few minutes before the top of the hour. How can people contact you and get a reading as well as a chart done?
Oh, very easy. I'm available worldwide with a toll-free number. That's 866-395-1340, and you can see that on my website. I read worldwide. I tend to specialize in readings that are out of state or out of the country because I only do phone readings. So again, the number is 866-395-1340. And you can reach me at leorising67, the number 67, at yahoo.com. And I'm available basically Monday through Saturday. I prefer to have my appointments booked in advance, but you can always call and take a chance. Monday through Saturday, 9 to 9, Pacific time. If you're in a foreign country, remember that I'm in America on Pacific time.
Okay, and you're also, and your website is?
ZodiacBuzz.com. And I will be publishing my solstice report this weekend. It's not up there yet. There's a little bit of information on the eclipse on the first page, and any type of a reading that you might want to book, you can do that right from the first page of my website, ZodiacBuzz.com. Take time to read over the first page of my website. It should answer most of the questions that you have. If you still have a question, feel free to email me at leorising67@yahoo.com.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you, Andy.
And this has been another enlightening analysis. It's a little different than, I guess, most, because most of we're ready for the chaos and kaboom. I will definitely want to love to have you back during a one period of time special to do analysis when it comes closer to the time of the American candidates, because you had done that once before and was right on target, which is amazing. So with John Edwards and with Obama and Hillary and everybody. So I would love to have you do that again, but that would probably be down the line. And everybody out there, I want to thank for listening in. If any information that you did not catch on this firsthand live show, it will be placed in the archive, this show. And I suggest go back to it. I know there was a lot of detailed information, especially when it gets in aspects of astrology. Do contact Carrie directly. You can always contact me, and I can forward her information as well. But she go to ZodiacBuzz.com, and her information, contact information is also there. And I want to thank her for coming on my show, and thank you all for listening. God bless you all, and have a great, glorious weekend, and of course, today.